Yes, and your life counts, and enthusiasm does make the difference. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sudden Eye Impact Show. On the show, we discuss various topics, such as, but not limited to, personal responsibility, accountability, accountability partners, creative vision, visualization, belief systems, support systems, and how reality works. The show's purpose and intention is to discuss simple ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, health, overall peace by utilizing your own individual latent resources that lie dormant within you. The show is purely inspirational and motivational, expressing powerful content that anyone can apply to change their life for the better or change their life for the best. Hope everybody's doing well. Jalen, you there?
Sir, yes, sir.
We have our first guest here, Mr. Carlos Griffin. You have the floor.
Hello, how y'all doing?
Great.
This is Carlos. I don't know if we're interactive here, but I've been tasked to tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Carlos Griffin. I'm on a couple of dealerships here in the Oklahoma City area. I'm from Edmond, Oklahoma. And I want to talk to you a little bit about laws of sowing. And really, when we talk about a little bit about myself, I'm a real estate investor. I've been doing it for like 15 years, off and on, and just really just an entrepreneur at heart. And I believe in 7 laws of sowing and reaping. And what we talk about there is what you see is what you say. What you say is what you sow. What you sow is what you reap. What you reap is what you are. What you are is what you give. What you give is what you get, and what you get is what you deserve. And I say that because we have to watch what we see. Garbage in, garbage out. So we have to guard things we see, the people around, the people, places, the things we hang around. And when we talk about what we see, things that I see, those things, if I don't see it before I see it, I'll never see it. And that's when we talk about our visions, our plans, our goals, things we want to accomplish in life. And we want to think about those things, and what we see is what we say. So what I say, and we got to watch how we talk. I tell people, careful how you be talking. You're talking poor about it. It's about the things you say. When you talk about I'm broke, or versus saying I'm temporary out of cash, because the power of life and death is on your tongue. And then we go into like, okay, what I see is what I say, and what I say is what I sow. And when we sow a seed, we expect multiple returns. So whatever you sow into the ground as a farmer, that's what you're going to get out. So if you're sowing for corn, you don't plant a seed of wheat, you plant corn. And so that's what we talk about sowing. And so when we sow a seed, where we're sowing money into something, it's what we get out of it. It's what we're going to get. And what we sow is what we're going to reap. And I'm going to reap a harvest. Not only that, and what I weep is who I am. It's who I become. So what we weep is who we are. And that's the law of attraction. So if I sow a seed, I'm going to get that seed that's going to come out. But also then what I sow is who I am. And so that's the law of attraction. Those are the people, places, people I hang around with. So it's like having like attractions. And then we go into not only that, and what I give is what I get. So if I give 100%, I'm going to get 100%. If I give 60%, I'm going to give 60%. If I give less than that, I'm going to get less than that. And so I got to be given all that I got. And then when I give is what I get, then falls into is what I deserve. And what I get is what I deserve. I deserve what I got because what I put into it. And so I'm saying all this to say I believe in that. 7 laws of sowing and reaping. I believe if you sow, you're going to reap a harvest. I believe if you, it's the law of attraction. What I see is what I say. And I got to guard my words, thoughts, feelings, actions, and deeds. Because when I understand those things, then whatever I sow to, that's what I'm going to reap. And that's pretty wrap up what I have to say at this moment. Is Dwight, is anything else you need to cover?
No, that would be all. Thank you, sir. Thank you for joining the show.
All right. Thank you.
Jalen.
Yes, sir.
Jalen is one of my clients. So we're going to do something very unique for the world. We're just going to take a few questions from our curriculum, and I'm going to ask Jalen the questions, and then he's going to answer them live on radio. So
yes, sir.
The first question I have for you is, what are your beliefs?
Yes. So first we got to understand what is a belief. And I did some background research on it. A belief is a trust, faith, or confidence in someone or something. Now, most beliefs are issued or instilled in a person when they're growing up or experiencing their journey, this journey of life that they're going through. It's really credited to the whole nature versus nurture concept. You know, where you grew up, who you interacted with, who you cleave to the most in your family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So before I even just answer my personal beliefs, because this is a, you know, opinionated question, I do want to say that who you have the most feelings towards in your life will be mostly where you get your beliefs from. Ideally, beliefs are passed down from generation to generation. So, for example, you have Christians giving their beliefs to Christians. You have the children of Israel passing down the Ten Commandments through their line and their lineage. And so it's just really who you love and who you look up to as a role model and who you see, you know, accomplish your goals and your dreams that you want to accomplish as well. And they'll be a key benefactor to your beliefs. So coming back and bringing it back to me, my beliefs are that you could be happy without money. You can be happy without the fame and the fortune. Happiness comes within. You know, I always want to use the example of prom day or the wedding day. That's when everybody beautiful. The sun is shining the most. I mean, plants are looking at the most highest peak of God's creation. Everything looks so beautiful. And you're just truly happy within that day. And if you can take that day and have that experience every day and don't have to worry about prom and you don't have to worry about your wedding day, but have every day be your prom, your wedding, or your birthday, and just carry yourself in the utmost manner, then you will be the happiest person on life. And those are my beliefs. So, you know, I got that from my parents. That's who I cleave to and love to the most. And they was the blueprints for that. You know, you just don't let anybody tell you who you are or where you're going. Have your wedding day every day and have faith and confidence in your own intuition, which is what God gave you, that I am power within you to manifest the life that you've always wanted.
Well said. Next question. It kind of ties into that, but I just want you to dive deeper into it. Where did your beliefs originate from?
Yes. So going back, diving in deeper, my beliefs. Actually, let me do a little history thing. I'm Hebrew, so my belief started way in the beginning over there in Israel. You know, we know about the story. That's why I brought them up in the, you know, last question. We know about the stories, how they passed over the Red Sea and things like that. So they originated from my roots and my heritage, which was in Jerusalem at first because I'm from the tribe of Judah. And so basically, that's where they originated at, you know, the praises and the worshiping and believing in God. So that's where my beliefs originated from.
Okay. Next question. Do you have concrete reasons for your beliefs?
Do I have concrete reasons? Yes, sir, I do. The concrete reasons are just my experiences. You know, you really don't know what to believe in, to be honest, in this life until you actually experience something. So, you know, let's go back to that concrete example of your mom tell you not to touch in the stove because it's hot. Well, she told you this, but you have to sometimes figure it out for yourself, and you might not believe it's hot. You might not understand if it's hot or not. So once you experience experience that and you gain the knowledge of that and the wisdom. Wisdom means to apply the knowledge that you obtain to every situation in your life. And so if you obtain that knowledge and apply that wisdom, then that'll be your concrete reasons. And that was my concrete reasons applying and obtaining the knowledge and wisdom that I've had through this journey.
Well said. So the next question is, how do you change your beliefs? Meaning, like, if a belief no longer serves you, what's the process of changing a belief?
Yes. This is actually good. I like this question. How do you change it? You know, first of all, you can't have any fear. And fear is a really big factor into human failure, right? No matter what you do, you're going to fail at least 3 or 4 times in this world. And if you are scared to fail, or if you're scared to go another route, then you can never truly rearrange, or rather change your beliefs. And by saying that, I remember when I was changing my beliefs about, you know, church and being in a relationship with God and things like that, because God was just bringing me to another spiritual awakening. And so when I just put my trust in him and I put my trust in my own self and know that my strengths and my weaknesses, where I'm going in life, then it was very much easy to do. So don't be fearful. Do not be ashamed that you learned something and you have to redo it. So, you know, redirect yourself. Remember, Moses didn't start his journey with the children of Israel until 80 years old. So he had to wait 40 years in the wilderness to get mature, be shaped, and be molded. So when he came back, he complete his journey of a higher life.
Good. So that leads me to the next question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that if you changed your beliefs, it would change your life for the better? If so, how?
Yes, I love this question, because almost everyone successful changed their beliefs and overall benefited drastically from that change. Now, I'm going to give my personal example for this one. Just like all the other ones, when I changed from Christianity just to walking in a relationship with God, it was life changing. And the reason why is because I remember, and I laugh at this, how things happen in the future when you change your way of thinking. And I remember when I used to see people around a fire, you know, dressed in all white, holding hands, getting spiritual and all that. I used to think, oh, they doing ritualistic things, or they doing cultish things. You know, they doing things pertaining to what Charles Manson did or something like that. Not knowing that on my 20th birthday, I would be in a circle around a fire doing the exact same thing that they did. And we was not doing anything ritualistic. We wasn't doing anything, you know, evil. We was learning about self-empowerment, being one with God, and just bringing yourself up in this world and in your journey. See, if I would have been narrow-minded my whole life and would have just thought, oh, that's evil, that's not good, you know, we don't do that, they're weird and things like that, then I would have never got that experience of knowing that I'm somebody who's worth something more than what the world even tells me that I'm worth. And so if I changed my way of thinking, when I changed my way of thinking, it was scary, I'm not going to lie, but it worked out for the best of me. And it worked out because I gained a whole new network of people. I'm able to stretch my hands out and go to more places now because I learned about this and I learned about that. So now, even when I'm just in a conversation, I can touch on many things because I've changed my beliefs about many things, and I've researched and went ahead and went on through.
Great. Mr. Griffin, you got the floor.
I'm Carlos. I've been a real estate investor for over about 15 years now. I was tasked today to talk a little bit about myself and how I got started. Now, one of the ways I got started is I believe in the first thing you have to do is you have to write a goal. Habakkuk says, write the vision. Make it plain. And so we have to write our visions, write our goals. What's my mission? What's my vision? Because mission says who we are, Mission says, where are we going? So we have to have a mission and vision. And so when you have a mission and vision, something you can follow, a plan, because if you fail the plan, it's going to put you in a whole bunch of problems. And so you have to have a goal. You have to have something that you can achieve. And one of the things I believe is the first thing I did was write my goals down. I wrote down what I want to accomplish, how many houses I wanted to buy. The first thing I wanted, my goal was to be in real estate. And in 2004, I wrote down the first 90 days, I'm going to buy a property. By the end of the year, I'm going to have 10 properties. And within the first 90 days, I bought my first property, no money down. 30 days after that, I bought the second property with $100 down. And I went on to fix those houses, rehab those houses, and cash out. The other thing, as you write your goals, the other thing is, too, on your way to making your goals and writing your goals, there's going to be some sacrifices along the way, that you're going to make some sacrifices. Whether it's you create a budget, you got to have a budget. You got to have, that's the first thing, you got to have your finances, create a budget. Or if you're overdebted, you need to throw some things away. It's like a heavy laden ship. When the thing starts sinking, there are some things you got to throw overboard so you can stay afloat. So there are some things you want to discard, you're going to sell, get rid of. You're going to stop the leak, stop the hemorrhaging that's going on in your life. If you want financial independence, you want to get ahead of your finances, get a control of those. First of all, you can't be scared to look at those things. Because oftentimes when we have bills come in the mail, I call them motivators, but you have those things come in the mail and we'll just discard those things and we feel like we're buried, feel like we're drowning, feel like we're swimming in a sea of despair because we're not taking a look at our finances because we're too scared to look at them. So that's the first thing you got to do is get a control of that. Start selling some stuff. Once you get that laid out, create yourself a budget that you can put back every single month or week or however you get paid or daily. Put that small amount back that you're going to be able to invest into yourself. And once you put that money back that you can invest into yourself, then now you're on your way to financial freedom. So what I did was I put back a little bit every single month. And I also did small goals, things that are attainable goals, things I can achieve. But I tell you, once when I wrote my goals down, those things, I got impregnated with those goals. Because when you start seeing it on the paper, what we talked about earlier, what you see is what you say. And what you say is what you sow, and what you sow is what you weep. What you weep is what you are, and what you are is what you get, and what you get is what you deserve. And so you got to have those 11-7 laws of sowing and weeping. And so now I went on that first year, did over $786,000 in real estate, went on to be a multimillionaire, over $8 million in profits, $3 million liquid, and that's the rest is history. And I just kept running from there. Went on to open up dealerships, car dealerships, and invest in other things. But you have to see it before you see it, or you'll never see it. And some of us can't get past our right now because we're too focused on what's going on in our right now. If you keep looking at your right now, then you'll miss where God is trying to take you, and so or where you're supposed to be going. And so we got to look past my circumstances, look past where I'm at. I was in a 2-bedroom duplex house on the one of the roughest parts in Oklahoma City. And I went from there. I'm out driving because I'm dreaming, because I'm looking at, if you don't see it before you see it, you will never see it. I say that again. You got to look past what you got going on right now and look to your preferable future. Your preferable future, whatever that may be, maybe it's another job, maybe it's a different promotion, maybe it's a different career choice, but you got to see it before you ever have it, or you'll just never see it. And so you got to write that thing down. So if you don't write it down on paper, how committed are you to the goal? That's the first step, is writing down the goal and setting achievable goals. And so I'll say that. And I'm speaking quickly here, I'm sure we can go back and hear some of this. But those are the things you want to do. That's those things I've done for myself. Set goals, and every day I'm working in my purpose. Find out what your purpose is and do that. That's what you got to get in your purpose. Once you're in your purpose, now I found out that when you're in your purpose, it takes the work out of it because you're running in your purpose. So with that being said, I say this again, make sure you write your goal, commit it to paper, because if you don't commit it to paper, how committed are you to that goal? Do something every day that walks in your purpose. Little by little, every day you wake up, do something that's in your purpose. That gets you that step closer to where you want to be. Change your circle. If you're the smartest person in your circle, change the circle. Either you change the people around you or you change the people around you. You look at, count five people, the five people you hang around, add up their worth, divided by five, and that'll tell you what your net worth is going to be. You want to be a teacher, hang around teachers. You're going to be a pastor, hang around pastors. You're going to be an entrepreneur, investor, hang around investors. You want to be a millionaire, take a millionaire out to lunch. Find your mentor. I'll say that. Find someone that can mentor you to get you where you want to be. Always be learning. Be a student. Always be a student. And always be reading something. It's going to help you get to your next level.
Our next guest is a young lady that I know of. She's going to give a testimony. So the ladies across the world, you want to make sure that you listen to this. It's a story of heartbreak, triumph, overcoming, and supernatural breakthrough. With that being said, I introduce Kelly W. You got the floor, Kelly.
Hi, guys. Just like a brief rundown of the last year with me. I want to say about this time last year, I ended a 6-year relationship that I kind of thought was going to be like forever. And it just kind of ended all of a sudden, big shock. So at that point it was tough mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It was just tough to handle. So little bout of depression in there. It was a lot just going on personally. So it was about that time I realized, okay, well, I need to downgrade, like house-wise and stuff, because I have two kids. One's in the military, and my daughter's 18. So about that time, we were like, okay, we'll downgrade because it's just the two of us. So we moved into a 2-bedroom apartment, just my daughter and I. And then my son was away in his training with the military. About this time, you know, once we got moved, I went through my mom having a stroke. I lost one of my older brothers, who was sick for a few years. So I lost him and my mom having her stroke within a matter of a month. So after that, it was really tough after going through that. My son, he was stationed in Virginia at the time, and he had called me out of blue. He normally calls at nighttime, so when he called during the day, it's a shocker. So he was like, "Hey, Mom, are you busy?" And I'm like, "No, just sitting at home. It's my off day." And he basically was like, "Hey, there's this teacher that we both remember when he was younger." And he was like, "You know, she had a huge influence aside you know, with me wanting to just do something, you know, with the military. And that's, you know, what I chose to do." He was like, "Well, we haven't seen her in 10 years, and I need you to find her because I need to let her know that I'm okay, that I turned out okay. Like, you know, she stayed on top of me. She was worried. You know, we didn't live in the best neighborhood. So she literally was his second mom." So me being like, mom went on this mission. I was going to find her. It took me 3 days. I was finally able to get in touch with her via text. We talked for a day. And then I'm such a email person. So at nighttime, I checked my emails, and there was an email from a certain show. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to send this in. It would be great for these two to reunite on this show because they haven't seen each other in 10 years. So me, laying in the bed late at night, I send literally a 3-minute email. And I actually forgot I sent that email. And it was probably a month later that I got a call from the show saying, hey, we got your email. We kind of want to know your story, what's happened. I broke that down to them. And they told us, unfortunately, you know, we weren't going to make it to the show. And we didn't really care because the fact that they called us back meant the world to us. So we just did not. We were just excited, you know, to talk to someone. So we end up flying out to the show because they just wanted to do an interview. Well, a shock to us. When we got there, we were live on the show. And when I tell you, this is just me. I look at it as, you can think you're down on your worst luck. You can be living paycheck to paycheck, which I literally was living paycheck to paycheck. It was all bills, making sure the kids okay. Because by this time, my son had came home. So instead of two of us in a 2-bedroom apartment, there's now 3 of us. So it's me, my son, my daughter, and he's sleeping on the couch every night. And it's just what we had to do. So about when he came home before the show, we were talking about, let's just get a house next year. You know, we'll save up. We won't spend any extra money. We'll work on credit issues. So we were in the process of just planning out getting a house. So this, with the show, once we got there, it was a shocker to us because we got to meet this teacher after 10 years of not seeing her. But by the end of this show, we were blessed with a brand new home that was paid for. We were also blessed with a brand new car that's paid for. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm big on washers and dryers. And at the time, my washer and dryer was going out as well. We were also blessed with a brand new washer and dryer. And I'm going to say, when you think that your prayers are not being heard, because I seriously went through that, like, okay, God, I know I haven't been this perfect person, and I've done so many things wrong, but where I was financially and spiritually, emotionally, it was rough. And I kept saying, I don't think you're hearing me. You're not hearing anything. Like, I don't hear you. I don't feel you. After that, getting a brand new house, a brand new car, and then, like, going backstage, and I'm like, what did you just do? And they're like, you know, sometimes when you don't think you deserve something, when you don't think you're deserving of anything, there's always somebody that thinks you are deserving. And it just took time for us to find you. So at this moment, this present time, we are in a completely paid for house, no mortgage payment. We're in a car that's completely paid for because my son and I were both in cars that were so old that were breaking down. So now we're in a brand new car where we don't have to stress about that anymore. So I'm going to tell you, hold on. Like, when you don't think it will turn around for you, when you least expect it, it will turn around. Like,
yes, indeed.
It's amazing.
You're good, Kelly. Keep going.
Okay. It's amazing. I wake up some days and I still cry because I look around and I was like, this is really our home. Like, this is ours. And, you know, and this happened the end of last year. So for it to be 4 months later, and I'm still in awe, that is the part that gets me. So right now I'm still in awe. I don't know what to say some days. And there are people that say, hey, I recognize you. You know, what did you do? Did you write something crazy? And I'm like, no, I was honest. Like, I only wanted them two to see each other because they haven't seen each other in all these years. And I know the connection she had with him, with that teacher, and the connection she had with my son was just amazing. So we went through some pretty tough times as he was growing up. So to have that when I was working 2 full-time jobs and I was barely seeing them, to see someone that was there to step in with him and just make sure that he and his sister were okay when I was working almost 80 hours a week. So to have that second person there to just look after them was a lifesaver and a blessing for us. So to this day, we keep in touch with her. She keeps in touch. We make sure everyone's okay. It's truly amazing. His grace is amazing because I was just like, I felt like I couldn't hold on anymore. And to know that all this happened, and it was, I held on and I was at my wit's end, literally. So keep holding on. And when you think you can't, you keep going, because again, there's somebody that's watching that knows you deserve so much more, even if you don't see it in yourself. That's my little story from the last year that I've had. So,
okay. So before we go to breaks, to all the ladies across the world that's hearing this, love yourself. Stay focused. Stay connected to yourself. She just told a story. This young lady was blessed with a $250,000 home, debt-free. She has the title deed at the bank in the safety deposit box and a $40,000 car. She owns it free and clear. Jay Banks, you got the floor. Welcome. Glad you could join us.
Thank you, Dwight. How's everything going today?
Wonderful. Wonderful.
All right. I appreciate you inviting me on, and I feel called to talk about persistence today, which I think is something that was being discussed earlier when I heard the young lady talking as well. But it just came up for me because, you know, we have technical difficulties at times, so. I had to call in a couple times just to get in to this call today. And so just reminded me of us remembering to just be persistent in the face of challenges, obstacles, you know, even someone telling you no. I hear that a lot. You'll hear that a lot in a lot of people's stories, you know, that are very powerful. It's not like they got a yes the first time. You know, they usually have someone tell them no, or someone tell them that they're crazy, they can't do that, or they're not good enough. And they just don't listen to that. And they either go back and take that information and use that as fuel to improve, or they just keep going to the next opportunity and keep trying until they accomplish their goal. So, I think that's a powerful thing for me to start out with here today, is to for all of us to remember, you know, find out what it is that you really desire, what it is that you really want to achieve or be in your life. And once you get really clear with that, and that may take some time and experimentation and going through different experiences to even know what that is. But once you get there, you know, find the people who support you. I know Dwight and myself support each other. So we've become good friends and business partners, but also being able to, you know, remember to love yourself, like you said earlier, love yourself, support yourself, and stay focused on what's important for you, and then add that determination and persistence in there. For the things that you really want to achieve in your life. And once you do that, then, you know, your story is next. You know, you're the next person writing the book or on the radio show or sharing beautiful stories, not to stand up and say, look what I did, but think about, like you said earlier, what your story does for other people. You know, once one person does something, so many other people are inspired to do it. Because we all follow certain people to a certain extent. You know, we all operate as human beings as a community. So we do get inspired by seeing people achieve great things. It lets us know that we can do it, especially when those are people close to you, your family members. So you can greatly impact your family and your community. I know a lot of people on this, listening to this, want to make a difference in the world, and they start looking at all the things they can do. But a lot of times we forget that the biggest difference you can make is by improving yourself, making a change for yourself, and going after your own dreams. That allows the people who are close to you to do the same, you know, especially with family, kids, parents. That can go back generations and go forward. So it's a great subject I wanted to talk about today. So Dwight, I wanted to ask you a question just to recap me on some of the highlights that you talked about earlier today. I know I had some trouble getting in earlier. Just wanted to recap and see what your thoughts were, or kind of your major points today that you were talking about.
Let's go to the next question from the curriculum. Let's go with the, why is a goal important?
Yes. So this is very, very, this is a very good question. And I want to actually answer this two ways, because let's just, you know, realize what a goal is. And a goal is important because it keeps you on track of what you want to do, and it allows you not to steer off the road. What I mean by that, let's say I wanted to lose 100 pounds in the next 6 months. Well, because I have a goal and that's something that I'm looking towards, kind of like that scripture, I'm pressing towards the mark of the high calling, which means like, you know, he just explained a few minutes ago about being persistent, right? I'm pressuring, I'm pushing myself, I'm cutting out certain things. I'm not, you know, eating certain foods or things like that, because I know that this is what I want to reach in the end point of 6 months. So a goal is important because it allows you to stay and keep you on track for where you want to go in the future. That's the first way I'm going to answer it. The second way is plan A versus plan B. And given the experience from my high school class, I remember when I was asked this question, it was like, what's your plan A? And I said, yeah, I want to own my own computer company. That's what it was at that time. That was something different. And she was like, okay. She's like, that's real good. You know, what's your plan B? And I kind of looked at her and I was like, you know, I really don't have a plan B. And she was all like, you have to. And I just think that it is a robbery to your heart and to your soul's desires to have a plan B, because that's a safe haven. And when you get scared or when you get discomforted, you would rather run to plan B and might stay in the land of plan B for the rest of your life without pursuing your plan A, which is your ultimate goal. And so if you're scared to pursue that ultimate goal, you're going to run to plan B and just stay in that wilderness for the rest of your life and be another what if in this world. So a goal is important because it keeps you on track, but you also should make sure that you're not afraid to attempt that goal as well.
Nice. Well said. So let's go to the next question from the curriculum. How much of your potential are you expressing?
Yes. I was very, very ready for this question, because I'm going to answer this, you know, honestly, because it said a liar cannot tarry in the Lord's sight. And the reason why I'm even putting some more pressure on that is because the truth is, me personally, as an personal level, I'm only using 0.03% of my potential. Now, I know when me and you discussed this, you know, earlier in the curriculum, you said most people only 0.1%. And the reason why I said that is, you know, the school system and the education system, which was created by no one who is smarter than you or I, has robbed children's mind as well as the adult's mind into putting their potential into a paper of validation rather than their own personal legend. Now, your own personal legend is the one thing that you want to achieve, and the whole entire universe conspires to help you achieve that goal. And I got that from a book called The Alchemist by Paul Coelho. And see, America has preached about degrees and graduating college so much, and there's nothing wrong with the education system. But what I'm saying is, you being held back because rather than chase your own goal, you're sitting in class learning about how another man achieved his when you can be doing yours as well. See, while I'm learning about America's ideology of manifest destiny, which is the God-given right to stretch from sea to shining sea, I'm drowning in my own river of talent negligence. I'm neglecting myself because I'm putting off what I want to do and decreasing my potential while trying to pursue another man's goals. It said John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb when she visited Mary. And that's John. He was already using this potential that God gave him, and he didn't even form flesh and skin in the natural world yet, but he was still using his potential in the spiritual world. And see, that's the problem. We're still in the womb of fear, discomfort, failure, and safety, that we have to be slapped into our true potential that can change the world, but we're just seeking another man's path to success. So now I'm going to utilize my potential more. Like the man Carlos said before me, I'm working on my goal every day. I'm pushing myself every day. Whether it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or 30 minutes, I'm learning about entrepreneurship, learning about shares, joint stock companies, sole proprietorships, nonprofits, you name it. I'm putting myself in there so I can fulfill my potential to another level.
Okay. So I'm going to save the humdinger for last. So I'm going to ask you one more question before I go to that question. Who do you expect to become?
Yes, this is also a good question, too. And, you know, it's another question that you had in the curriculum, which was, what are you identifying with? And so I'm going to just go ahead and tie that into this question. And say that, in short, I'm going to give you the biblical perspective and the scientific perspective of it, because I can tie both of these questions in the same one. See, this came from a Wikipedia excerpt on fingerprints. It said the skin on the palmar surface of the hands and feet form ridges, so-called papillary ridges, and patterns that are unique to individuals, which do not change over time. It said even identical twins who look the same, talk the same, share the same eye color, even share the same DNA, does not have identical fingerprints. So that's the scientific part. The biblical part is Psalms 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous how thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. So just to bring it to the lowest terms, back to the question, who do I want to become? It's only two things I can become. I can either become like God or become who I truly am, which is me, myself, and I. And I know that sounds self-centered, but to be honest, it's a very big shame and dishonor that somebody will categorize you as the next Bill Gates or the next LeBron, because you're not meant to be on this earth to be them. You're meant to be you. And so who do I plan on becoming? And that's me as what God intended and has for me to be. So that's what I would say.
Nice. You said, well stated. Now let's get to the meat of the matter. What is the highest function that a man is capable of?
Oh, I love this question, because there's so many answers that you think is right. You know, what was the commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with thy heart, mind, body, and soul. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So you would think that love would be the highest function. Or, you know, you got to protect your family. You got to protect and provide for yourself. You know, it says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So you would think protecting and providing is the highest function that a man is capable of.
Nice.
Capable of is to think. And the reason why it is to think, because Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. A man or a woman's thought will determine who they are and where they are going. Because the mind thinks, then it transfers into the heart, then it will transfer to the body to act upon what was inside of that person, or speak upon what was inside of that person. So if you think you're going to be worthless, then you will be worthless. But if you think you're going to make it, then you will make it. If you think you are not just dirt, but you are more than what this world has told you you are, then I guarantee you that thought will It's like the law of attraction. If you think positive things, then positive things around you will happen and you will start doing positive things. So the highest thing you can do is think. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect to the will of God. See, that was God's will for your mind and his mind to be one. And that's that God conscious within you, that I am thinking that whatever you say you do or you think, it will be into fruition. That's what Adam was supposed to do while he was yet on this earth, and that's what we are supposed to do. So when we think, that's a connection between us and God, and that's what's going to change the things around us, shifting the atmosphere.
Yes, yes, yes. Well said, well said. We're going to turn it back over to Jay Banks. Jay Banks, take a couple minutes, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, I, man, that was inspiring, Jalen. I really appreciate hearing that. I agree with all those comments and answers, and I'll add this, which is really powerful. You know, the questions that we ask are very important. I think a lot of times we look for answers. But the actual answer is in the question, right? The questions that we ask, it's like mathematics. You know, like if you ask a question, there's an equivalent answer. So if you think about the questions that you ask, that right there can be a shift or a change in your life. And, you know, a lot of people ask the wrong questions. And I'm using that word wrong very, very consciously because you'll hear people say, you know, well, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? You know, what? Why is my life going so wrong? Well, if you think about the source of that question, well, you know, I would always tell clients that I work with and family and friends, I'm like, well, hey, you need to stop that question right now, because the answer that you're going to get is going to be exactly what, you know, you asked about, right? And so if you come back and you start to ask questions, powerful questions, but you direct them, like Jalen mentioned, with your I am power or your God-given power about who you are, you know, well, what can I do to improve my life? That's a great question, right? What do I love to do? What am I good at? How can I improve? Right. You notice how you start asking those questions, but you start shaping the questions to where the only answer you're going to get is the one that you've already kind of shaped. And I think that's a power that many of us forget, is that we actually have the ability to create our lives. And you can do that. And that's a very simple format where you can see I'm starting to take control. It's almost like I'm pulling myself off the game board and now I'm starting to create the game. Right. You know, a lot of people always make this comment about, oh, you got to get out there and play the game. And I'm like, really? You do? I said, because I'm not anymore. Right. I'm creating it. So I'm creating the rules. I'm creating how the game operates. And so we can do that by how we direct our power, the type of questions that we ask, the type of language that we use, the type of thoughts that we focus on. And the last piece that I want to add into this, which is very powerful, and it's something I experienced this past weekend, the people that you surround yourself with. So when you're making a shift or a change in your life, let's say you're in a certain space now and you know you want to become or do something different in the future, many people around you who are used to seeing you a certain way may not want you to change. Mm. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they are malicious or evil or trying to hold you back. But they're used to, or they have a habit of seeing you in a certain way. And so you have to take on lovingly, compassionately, but also have the courage and the power to start to instruct those people of who you are or who you are becoming, and also have the courage to start to walk away from some relationships that may not serve you anymore, right? As you become successful and grow and do things in your life, you will encounter this, where people will actually say things to you. I had a friend this past weekend say this to me. They were like, well, I just want the old Jarin Banks to be there. And I just started laughing because it was a compliment to me, because it meant, okay, I've changed a lot, right? So I really just wanted to add on to what Jalen said, but I'm still really so grateful and thankful for the comments and answers that he did said to those questions. Those are really powerful. I think that was a great kind of testimony, how he brought in his thoughts, the science, and the scripture. I mean, powerful words there. So I just wanted to add in a little bit here at the end. But I think that was a great discussion.
Nice. Well, it's been an hour of purpose and power. I'm going to be repetitive and I'm going to be redundant. The show's purpose and intention is to discuss simple, basic, fundamental ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, health, overall peace by utilizing your own individual latent resources that lie dormant within you. Be an agent of change. Be an ambassador of change. First, you will change you, and then you will change your world. Sending everybody love, peace, joy, and resonance. Thank all my guests for coming. And all you listeners out there, continue blessings on your life. Thank you.